We'll keep it on that.
Yeah.
So, so you were saying, Maul, that they had already turned down the Big Ten, is what you heard, Notre Dame?
So here's the latest scoop on what's going on, because I've followed this for the past 10 years, conference realignment. Essentially, mm-hmm. Notre Dame has told the Big Ten, at this time, we're good. So what that means is now, and you can laugh at our Oregon friends, now the Big Ten's like, you know what, Oregon, Washington, we're good.
Yeah, we don't want y'all no more.
Yeah, we were going to accept y'all on the grounds of we knew Notre Dame was coming, so we needed to make the numbers work. But now, hey, they got 16. SEC's going to have 16, so now they're good. What's going on right now is that the Pac-12 and the Big 12, Pac-12 that's left and the Big 12 are discussing a possible merger.
Yeah, merger, yeah.
Both conferences is trying to kind of eat up the other conference. So the latest scoop is that the Big 12 has invited Oregon, Washington, Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, and Colorado. So the other six teams to see if they'll want to join the Big 12, which actually makes sense because Colorado used to be a part of the Big 12 in the past. Mm-hmm. And you have BYU in there now, so that's going to be good week. You know, BYU, Utah, and they just get those other brands. And
then you got who else is joining? UCF and Cincinnati and Houston.
I don't see how that Big 12 will last, though. Like,
another name you didn't mention, Mar, was BYU.
BYU. They're part of that too.
Oh, you missed. Okay.
So essentially, they would form kind of an 18-team conference. They're pretty much what they're doing is, if you're not locked in the ACC, you're not Big Ten, you're not SEC. They're trying to get the best of whatever's left. And both conferences is trying to save itself, because from what I heard, the Pac-12 tried to get Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, TCU, and another school as well. So both sides are kind of playing against each other, because both conferences is negotiating their new TV deals. So
Notre Dame basically told, I guess they was giving Notre Dame till yesterday to come up with an answer if they was going to join the Big Ten. And Notre Dame saying, man, we good. Like,
how y'all think Notre Dame would set up a schedule then with
it's going to be the same schedule. It's going to be independent. They're going to play USC every year. They're going to play
Stanford.
USC won't play
Michigan, Stanford.
What USC be like, no, we're not playing.
They ain't going to play them.
Right.
You think USC going to do that?
Because their conference schedule is going to be too tough.
Exactly.
Well, no. I think USC, I think they kind of locked in where they have to play them.
Does that go away with this conference?
Yeah, I think it's kind of locked in.
Right. Certain things might get dissolved, and that's where you get contract talks. They may get dissolved once they aren't in that conference anymore. And that's why I think Notre Dame will eventually get pushed into a corner, because these teams will end up moving to these super conferences, right? If we're lucky for college football, there'll be three super conferences, right? There'll be your SEC, your Big Ten, and then whatever
survives.
Pac-12, Big 12. I think, kind of what Maul brought up would be a respectable conference, I think. I think you could put together a respectable conference that could compete and possibly be in a playoff type picture.
Yeah.
So
I don't know, because I think outside of the SEC and Big Ten, the other conference, it just won't be the market. Well, because it almost looks like the whole TV network trying to gravitate towards the southeastern part of the United States, which would leave out the West Coast. And that's why USC and UCLA going to Big Ten, because they want that market.
But that's why Oregon and them other schools are trying to get a TV deal right now so that they can essentially survive. So, like, even if you have that third conference – What Notre Dame's going to have to make a choice is when they make the college playoff requirements, it might say you have to be in a conference. And that's going to be how they get Notre Dame to join. But until Notre Dame has to, they love being independent. So they're going to wait till the last possible moment to where they have to join a conference. And then they'll pick a conference, because what stops Notre Dame from saying, I'd rather join the SEC?
If Notre Dame does stay independent, though, I don't see how they would ever make a playoff, because how many
they go 11-1, they'll make a playoff,
right? But how many It depends on like
they go,
it depends who you get to play.
But, right, but I don't think everyone's gonna blackball them though.
But they how many teams in the SEC will
it depends on who they lose to too.
Just because it
depends on who they lose to.
I'm with Larry.
If they lose a big game, they win out, they're going to go.
They're going to the playoffs,
like easy.
But see, I'm with Larry on it. Depends on who they playing. Like who would play? Who is scheduled there?
They not
the ACC. Seven. The ACC right. hasn't done that yet, so they still got them same six games.
See now what? And what's really happening is that little rumor from the SEC when they said that they was going to say, well, we don't need the playoffs. We'll have our own championship. Within our own conference. Now, when they do the super thing, if Notre Dame does not decide to join a conference, the SEC going to say, well, hey, we'll just have our own championship. We don't need y'all because we already got two teams in the playoffs.
Well, and that's the other thing. I think that the playoffs could be dissolved soon. I think we would be looking at, depending on if we go to just two or three team super conferences, it'll be a new playoff. So the college football playoffs that we know now, it won't matter because the NCAA can't make them participate. The NCAA is more of a tool of the colleges, not the other way around.
Well, so, I listened to a podcast. They're talking about that the college football playoff would essentially be the governing body of the super conference, right? And that's why Notre Dame's going to eventually have to join a conference because the NCAA can't control what's going on. It's too much money. It's too much stuff at stake. So people not really worried about the NCAA. But if you have these conferences under this college football playoff umbrella, then cool, we can set up a 12, 16 team setup. And so now you can afford to go 9-3, but if you got three good losses in conference, you'll still make the playoff. You might have to play an away game, but if it's a 12-team playoff, 9-3, you're going to have somebody 9-3 in there. So it's all about how the money aligns. But in terms of the here and now, until Notre Dame makes a decision, no other conference I think is going to add anyone else in terms of SEC or Big Ten.
You know, the bottom line is, though, in all of this, we're witnessing an evolution in college football. And it's like, you know, what a time to be alive. We're going to see something's about to shake up very differently.
It's happening fast too.
Yeah, and for all the haters, like, come on, man, stop lying to yourself. Miami's a brand that they would want in the SEC. That's a brand that they would want in the Big Ten. It's not that. The biggest determining factor, I believe, will be trying to figure out how to pay off the calls to ESPN. That would be the biggest bargaining chip. Hey, how do we pay them all so that you can then move on and come over to this conference? And to my understanding, there's already been conversations going on. So,
and
you got to quit lying to yourselves, bro. Like, I know. We've been a laughing stock and this and the other. It's just not happening anymore. So, quit cloaking yourself in the comfort of living in the past, the thing you say we do all the time, and get with the times. It's changing. What you about to say, Mark?
What I was going to say was the biggest thing that's going to happen. I think the ACC, how it decides to split, is where the SEC and the Big Ten are probably going to get most of their team. If you look at the brands that's left, besides Oregon, the rest of the brands that matter are in the ACC. You got North Carolina. You got, you know, North Carolina, Virginia are going to get you, are two schools that kind of control a lot of the things. Then you got your Florida State, your Clemson, you know, your Miami. But the thing is,
you got Pittsburgh.
Well, Pittsburgh is an older brand, but in terms of networks,
it's a traditional brand.
But
one of those conferences going, if they're going to take them, one of those conferences going to open their hands and be like, come on, Pitt.
Well, it's going to be the number 20. Is it 24 teams per conference for those two? And that's
what about those basketball schools, though? Like,
basketball don't matter in this. It's got nothing to do with basketball.
It doesn't rank up enough money.
Because Kansas would be in the Big Ten already if basketball mattered.
Yeah. But it doesn't. Basketball just don't. Even at a place like Duke, I mean, basketball just can't compare because most of the money that's made at Duke or in basketball, honestly, is in the postseason. It's not a regular season.
A gallon.
Right? Then with basketball, yeah. you don't really need to be in no major conference like that anyway.
Right. You can
if you're good in basketball, you're going to be good.
Gonzaga don't need to be in the Pac-12.
Yeah, it's 62. It's 60-something, 64 tournament, whatever.
Right.
So you don't need no conference like that. You just win your games and you'll get in. It's different from the other, football. Right.
And in terms of Miami and trying to put a bow on this, even if ESPN has the ACC deal, guess what? ESPN's got the SEC deal as well. So guess what? If Miami shows the SEC how it's going to make money out of that deal, they'll negotiate some kind of terms, and you're going to get those brands. At the end of the day, SEC, they need enough for that contract to be as big as it is. And if you're making these other conferences like obsolete, not important, you need enough big teams that you could put a game on at night. Because end of the day, if Vanderbilt is 7-0, you can't put Vanderbilt on primetime. If Mississippi State is 7-0, you can't really put them on primetime unless they're playing in Alabama. You can't put Vanderbilt at Mississippi State primetime. That's not how this works. But even so,
with that, Miami is just a primetime location. You know what I'm saying? Even on TV, you will want Miami to have a primetime slot,
Who got the most Super Bowls? M-I.
Yeah, Miami.
And networks are making the decision, so the networks are going to do what's best for them. It's not the conference, because Texas A&M ain't want Texas in the SEC neither.
Yeah, they didn't.
Yeah.
But money talks.
No doubt.
I mean, the money Texas was bringing. And again, like I say, with those TV network that, because Texas already had their own network in the state of Texas alone. You know what I'm saying? That was huge. So it's like, you're gonna bring that network with us? Oh, that's what it is. You know what I'm saying? We'll take that one. And that's why the Big Ten saying, well, we want the Notre Dame one, but Notre Dame, they just got so much leverage that they saying, well, that's cool. We'll sit here and wait.
And Notre Dame do not want to be a part of the Big Ten if they don't have to, because their alumni base is along the East Coast and West Coast. Their alumni base don't want to play Purdue, Northwestern.
Yeah.
They don't want to. They rather play Virginia. They rather play Boston College. They rather play Miami. They rather play USC.
Well, they don't really want to play Miami. They don't really want to play Miami.
Georgia, nobody wants to play Miami.
I feel like they are supposed to play Miami every year since it's all the stuff that we've been through, the both of us, man. But
I wouldn't mind seeing them boys every year, man.
Once the conference.
Not all.
I want them all the time. I want them every year, man. I hate them.
No doubt, man. Let's get into the show a little bit.
What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
What up? Welcome back to 26 Degrees, a Miami Hurricanes football podcast brought to you by the good folks over at Gramco. All right, Gramco is your one-stop shop for all your Delta 8 needs. They have Wake and Bake coffee, got pre-rolls, right? It's rolled in raw cones, got the gummies. Those come in three flavors, blue razz, watermelon, and tropical. All right. Also added to the line is the hard candy. And recent returns on the hard candy, which is a newer one, the recent returns on that one is highly potent, because you got to remember, with a hard candy, you're going to be absorbing it directly into your mouth lining, as opposed to when you eat a gummy, it goes into your stomach, and then, it hits you a little bit different. So, to my understanding, hard candy is definitely where it's at. Not that the gummies are anything. The gummies are no joke. Know that for sure. Everything produced over at Gramco is from the seed to the packaging that arrives to your doors, and get that delivered to you in discreet packaging. Everything is federally legal. The top-notch and Delta 8 products out there. Don't be skeptical. Go ahead and knock it out. As a matter of fact, I'll extend that deal again. I'm waiting on somebody to hit us up. you can hit me up. First person to show me the receipt, I'm going to shoot you $26 on your order. So you can use the promo code 25Canes for 25% off your order. And if you shoot me a screenshot of your order, I'm going to send you $26. So your deal is getting cheaper and cheaper by the moment. It's also free shipping on orders over $50. So hit them up. Use promo code Canes25 and get your knees, man. I assure you. I know a lot of you potheads out there is like skeptical. I'm talking to you. I've had testimonials from true smokers, potheads that done it all. It's not bogus, baby. I'm not lying to you. It's the greatest feeling to be able to stand behind a product I truly believe in. Matter of fact, got with me my boy Measy. Measy has already tapped in a little bit. Measy, how you feeling, bro?
Man, what it do, man? Yeah, shout out to Gramco. They sent me my care package last week. Everything as advertised, like Larry and Sam, man. I haven't had the hard candy, but I was watching a roller today, so I heard what Silk said. It makes sense, too, how they're more potent because they don't have to, like, digest, you know what I'm saying? But I might try one of them tonight, man. But gummy's good, you know what I'm saying? Everything good, man. It's as advertised, man. So
as advertised. And cannot forget Sativa Doll. Sorry, I want to make sure I make mention of that as well. Sativa Doll is a CBD line. They have that available for you as well as your pets. They have a roll-on for you, and they have gel caps for you and your animals. So experiencing any type of aches and pains, CBD has been known to help with mental clarity, depression. It's linked to a lot of positives. So if you're looking to get the positives of marijuana without the THC, definitely look into your Sativa Doll products. Do your research on that. I'm a big advocate for that as well. It done a lot of good for me, especially with joint pain. So do not neglect to look up those products as well. Google it. Check out your CBDs and see what they got out there for you. We got with us as usual, the field general himself, X. What's going on, X?
Not much, chilling, man. I got my package a week or two ago, man. I haven't eaten the gummies yet.
Be prepared. You got to be ready for that.
Yeah, one day, man, I'm going to go ahead and just say, let me just, you know what I'm saying? I ain't never smoked. No, I ain't never did no drug, no edible, no nothing. So
yeah,
one day I'm gonna just say, nah, yeah, you just try it out, man.
Just vibe out. This is the thing. When you get ready to do it, you just need to make sure that your evening is free so you just vibe. Like if you sit on the couch and watch some TV, that's like kind of the ideal setting. Is just sitting on the couch watching one of your favorite programs or a movie, something like that. You know. And let it wash over you, and then you like, oh, okay, I got you, and then you get the vibes of it, man.
So, yeah, I'm gonna try it, but yeah, nah, man, I love the setup that they sent, man. That was, you know,
nice, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a nice setup.
They treat us right.
Yeah, real dope, man.
My sister, she was like, damn, she was like, they gave you a lot. I was like, I know, like the cup and stuff for the pets and everything. I was like, damn, show out. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. With us as usual is our producer, the man with a plan, who we couldn't get this done without, man. You know, but a lot of people may not know is when you hear these podcasts, a lot of times people think it's just conversation, people just running their mouth. But the difference between the ones that are doing it well, like us, and those who aren't, is a great producer. So Maul helped structure this show for us. And we really, really appreciate them, man. So what's going on there, Marv?
Man, going good, man. This week, summer camp, I figured I was closed this week. I didn't realize till I took 6-year-old to camp, and they were like, oh, no, there ain't no camp this week for 4th of July. I was like, excuse me?
A whole week?
All right.
So now the little one's nap pattern's all off because big sister here, but we going to get through. I might need one of them gummies sooner than I think, man. But but now, man, everything's great otherwise, man. But that just threw the week off for sure.
That's what's up, man. Beautiful, beautiful. Y'all boys getting it 2 for the 4th. We're recording today is the 5th, actually. We'll get this dropped to you all. So when you guys hear it, it will be the 6th. But so we just, you know, we just celebrated the 4th or didn't celebrate the 4th. You know, America may not deserve a party this year. They're acting up a little bit. Y'all boys do anything, man?
Man, I did mine on Juneteenth, man. I was cooling this weekend. I was in the house. I was in the house listening to fireworks, watching TV, man, watching Netflix.
Same over here, man. The only thing we did do well, we just cooked. You know what I'm saying? I guess, you know, Monday, ain't nobody had to go to work, so we just cooked. We ain't no fireworks, no nothing, man. Just, you know, I mean, it's basically a normal day for us anyway. You know what I'm saying? The weekend, if the family get together, we just cook. You know what I'm saying? Vibe up, sip something to drink, play some cards and stuff like that. But we definitely ain't do no celebrating like that.
Big family day. That's why it's been that tradition for me as well. What you got, Amar?
I was gonna say similar. Went to a friend's house and the first time in 3 years I was able to play spades in person. I've been playing on my phone app all day. I finally got to play some spades. And then yesterday, on the actual 4th, I just made homemade ice cream.
Nice.
That was just something to do. And then for the past 3 days, dog, these fireworks been going to about 11:30, dog.
You be like, yo, I hope my neighbors run out of fireworks soon, bro. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Hey, if y'all never had homemade ice cream before,
it's very good,
man.
It's very good.
It makes you not even want to go back and get any ice cream out the store.
Yeah, only thing that really competes with homemade to me is Ben and Jerry's. Ben and Jerry's is elite.
I got that in the freezer right now.
Yeah, that's about the only thing that really truly competes, though. To me, me personally, I had an old friend of mine come in town, so it ended up going downtown to one of our nicer restaurants, spin a grip. God, I spent a grip on some dinner and just a few drinks downtown. It's a spot, if you're ever in Savannah, Vic's on the River. Vic's on the River is one of our maybe not the most premier spot. It is, I think Google has it at like $3 signs. So just, you know, you're going to spend a little money there, but it's a nice ambiance, really good food, great, great wine selection. You know, it's a good place if you're coming to Savannah. If you're ready to spend, let's say for a couple, if you're ready to spend $100 to $130, let's say, for a couple, that's a good spot to visit. Good ambiance. You sit right there on the river. You can see, you know, all of the ships passing by and all.
Hey, you say less than 130?
Yeah, right around 100, 130.
Well, you lucky, boy. It's hard to find one of those in Miami, boy.
Yeah, Miami different. Trust me, I done been to Miami several times. Yeah, Miami gonna run you more than that. Savannah's cheaper in general, though. But we got something that'll run you up.
Man, the ones down here, man, you talking about on the water with the boats riding by and the nice views, man, you look, that check call, you be looking at them like, boy.
What you got? What you got on this?
Wait, maybe you got the tip at least or something.
Something, help me out.
It's great, man. I'm talking about maybe them things, man. It's something down here, man. I don't think nothing on the menu be like cheaper than $50, $75. So by the time you order appetizers, you already at like $150.
Yeah,
you still finna eat?
I picked up me and she's actually my ex. Well, we've always had a real good relationship. So I picked up me and her tab. Me and her both had shrimp and grits, which was like $25. We got a bottle of wine, a couple of beers. She had a sheet crab soup. And all together came in like right around, I had a couple of beers, I think, and came together at like right around 105, something like that. And then with tip, yeah, I threw like $30, $35, something like that on it. So, check out Vic's on the River if you're in Savannah. Alligator Soul. People hit me up all the time asking, like, what's some of the best places to eat. Alligator Soul is a great place. Also check out Pink House. Pink House is a great place. These are reservation type places as well. So you make sure to call ahead and set your reservations. Pirate House is another place. And a new, more emerging one that I haven't tried out yet, but I'm hearing a lot of good things about is The Great, I think is what it's called. I think they got popular via social media or reality show, something like that. So we do have great dining in Savannah. But anyways, tell you what, let's dive into Lil' Kane's football, man. Let's see.
Had a really exciting weekend, man. Had an exciting week and a weekend, huh?
Hey, I ain't gonna lie, man. What a time, man. I was.
Oh yeah, man. Meezy, you was doubting me. Oh, what's going on, man?
Hey, you know what's funny,
what was the doubt? What was the doubt?
I told him we had friends, and he was like, "Oh man, he don't think so." I'm like, "What? Come on,
y'all
man."
Y'all saw me texting y'all. I was like, "Damn, man." My reason for that was it wasn't really doubting you. I was just like, "Bro, that's like my number one need in the class was him." You know what I'm saying? So, like, that set me off. Like, I knew if we got him, it's going to be, I don't want to say smooth sailing, but I just knew how monumental that would be for the program. So, you know what I'm saying?
So, quick question before we get any further. I like that. I like what you said there. Who's number one now since we got him in the boat?
The other tackle,
Samson.
The other tackle, to me, if you ask me, the other tackle from Boston, I believe.
Now he's from Massachusetts area or something.
Yeah, Massachusetts.
He's number two now. I mean, if we get those two,
I will put David Hicks in front of him though. I will put David
Hicks. I can see that.
You think we got a real shot at Hicks?
Yeah, we got a real shot at Hicks, man.
Okay.
He had it, the crazy thing is a lot of I was getting hit up, they were saying, dang man, you know, the D line Coach Joe. They're like, man, he ain't really doing his job. I say, man, but, you know, the crazy thing is Mario's going to, you know, the kid that Coach Joe go after, Mario going to lock up because Mario got the relationship with most of the D tackles that they want. And, Texas A&M, Oregon, he's the number one D tackle in the class. So, you know, obviously a bunch of these schools want him, man. But I just think Mario did an excellent job. When he came down,
I can see how Hicks feel number two for the linebacker position because linebacker O line that's like the most position of need for us. So I can see that.
Nah, Hicks is the D tackle. Hicks is the D tackle.
I'm thinking about a linebacker. My bad.
You think about Anthony Ryan? Hill?
Anthony Hill. My fault.
Hill. Yeah, nah, Anthony Hill thing. That's out. We ain't got no chances.
We ain't got no shot on that one. Okay. That's a good question.
I thought Hicks was A&M, Texas.
I still feel like that.
I think Texas is almost and they might be out of it pretty soon because he sees that. Oh yeah, I just got a whole bunch of defensive line. Like, why would I go there?
A&M,
not Texas, but A&M. And I don't think Texas is. They recruiting them hard, but I don't think they did a good job. You know what I'm saying? But who knows? They could double back and, you know,
right, and make up
NIL money and stuff like that. But, he does look at the Texas A&M D-line room. Like, I think they overcapacitated. Like, it's too many. They got, like, maybe 30 D-line. Like, I don't know if he think he could go in and take somebody's spot, but that's a lot of players.
For me – and then I'll ask Maul after this. I think the most crucial get at this point now that we got Maui Goa, number one or five-star player. He's number one tackle, correct?
Number one, number two, between number one and two.
Depends on what you're looking at. Yeah, whatever. Very, very impressive. I watched his tape. Very impressive kid.
That boy's a mammoth.
Started on defense, so he's got a little bit of that nastiness to him. some of that aggressiveness without being over the top. That's what I really love, is like, he's nasty and mean, but he's like, bro, you can't see me. So he's not even like into all of the extracurriculars. He's just like, bro, I'm so much better than you. And that's just what it is. So I like that about him.
That was a fun recruitment too, I want to mention real quick, Larry. Yeah, they said the CBS crew who hosted his announcement, they said nobody in that building had a clue. You know what I mean? Like, it was real close to the vest. You know what I'm saying? So that was a fun.
They can lie all they want. They can lie all they want. We talk about nobody knew, man.
X knew, of course. You know what I'm saying? That was a fun. That was a real fun recruitment.
Hey, man. But I'm gonna tell you. Go ahead, man. Before I let you say it, and I'm gonna tell y'all a little story that I got the day of.
I'll be really quick. Malik Bryant, man, I think if we can get a 6'2", 235 linebacker from Orlando, all that I-4 talk, if we get a linebacker from there, and just, man, I miss linebacker recruiting,
we
man.
Need like, help there.
We need help there. Sure. Yeah, man. That's
the Scotty Strong doing an excellent job there, man. I'm thinking that, you know, I don't have no crystal ball on 24-7, but I might want to throw one in just because.
So we going 26. Mine would be. I feel good about him.
Well, 26 degrees. Mine would be, since we got Miley going, I'm gonna go Collins Akiyopong. I really like this kid, man. Once I saw him physically, he's as advertised, bro. He's a legit 6'6", 6'7".
Yeah, he's a freaking nature prospect. Yeah.
Only 1 year of football. Don't forget, one year.
Oh my God! And he hasn't played. Right, he's only played his freshman year because he lives out in Cali.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, whoever lands that kid is getting a freak. They are getting an absolute. This is Russo again. You're looking at,
but he's bigger though.
Phillips, he's long, bigger. Right?
Maybe,
yeah.
Maybe
coming
like,
in, right? Yeah.
Right.
Coming maybe in, you're absolutely
closer,
right.
Closer to Calais Campbell.
I like that. I think it's a great combo.
Because Canadian is what, 6'8", like 300. Yeah. So he
now,
what
right,
I keep telling people is this kid right now is 6'7", 255. He hasn't touched the weight room or nothing. He's just naturally big. So just imagine he gets on campus the first few months and he gains them 20, 30 pounds. He's gonna move on the inside because he's gonna get big.
The game's just gonna be mental for him because everything else is just God gifted with him. So
this shit's
mental with him.
Yeah, that's my guy right now. He is honestly at this point my number one on the board. If we can secure him, which interestingly enough. He was supposed to announce. He came down. He went to Michigan. A lot of people felt like he was a Michigan commit. And then he left Michigan, visited us, and I think we gave him a lot to think about. And so he pushed his commitment back. So to me, he would be the best get on our board. Just as far as, man, I think this could be a kid that could contribute, if not his freshman year, definitely his true sophomore year. And even his freshman year, I think he could contribute as a backup. But I definitely think his sophomore year, this is a guy that you could look at as a starter just off the physical tools alone.
Yeah, now he, man... When they were showing me the pictures, and I kept asking, like, well, who is that man? Who is that guy standing next to? And they like, that's a high school kid. And I was like, what? Like, nah.
Towering over Mario.
Man.
Mario's a legit 6'4", 6'5", type guy.
Yeah. Man, look, he stood next to Jackson Howard, the other guy, and they both was like 6'5", and he was way bigger than both of them.
You see it? It's not even close.
I saw Jackson Howard standing next to him, that's when I really, because I know Jackson Howard tall, and that's when I was like, okay, this boy, different species right here. But you know what's funny, y'all? We all named four different players just now, the top of our wish list, and I think we get all four.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
I really think we get all four.
I'm very confident.
Me too.
Yeah, I know. The one Miles said to Malik Bryan, I'm almost 100% confident we got him. Like I said, I don't. We do our own stuff with Footballville and Caneville, man, and we gonna pretty much start doing 26 degree crystal balls too, pretty soon, man. but yeah, man. The crazy thing about the Francis story, right? Because like I knew a whole week ago, man, where he was going. So it was basically a Tennessee and UM battle down to the end. People acting silly and saying, "Well, yeah, UM, y'all paid a whole lot of money. I mean, but we didn't offer the same amount of money Tennessee was offering." You know what I'm saying? It was. Them boy were offering quarterback money. And then Sundays, between Saturday, Sunday, I got a call and it was like, "Hey, man, I don't know, man, because Nick Saban trying to make a push for Francis." And once he said that, I was like, "Dang, like, come on, man." You know, because past rep, you know, Nick Saban, if he wants somebody, he normally get him.
And he go to IMG on top of that.
So I was like, "Dang, man, why Nick Saban doing this to us? Like, this when we start feeling good." And then, you know, Monday morning, as soon as I get up, man, I'm texting like, "Hey, man, what's going on, man? You heard anything?" And I ain't getting no response at all. So, everybody hit me up like, "Man, it's how you feeling about that?" And I'm like, I don't know if I should tell them, "Dang, man, you know, Nick right here, boy, we might be in trouble." Or should I just say, "Yeah, man, I'm going to just stick with it. We getting them," and just staying on that. You know what I'm saying? So that was so crazy up to 3 o'clock. Like around 2 o'clock, once 2 o'clock came, then I started feeling a lot more confident again because I was like, "Well, I haven't heard anything." Normally, I've heard something saying, "Oh yeah, he's looking at Bama or something like that." But it didn't happen, man. I was like, "Boy, I was happy."
Man, my biggest thing about that was we obviously really need that talent, but it's just like the fireworks that set off around the country. You know what I mean? Everybody noticing that, like the little run we've been on. You know what I mean? Knowing, okay, there's gonna be more to come. That's what I was loving the most out of everything. Like, everybody's saying, "Okay, Miami really not playing." You know what I mean?
Momentum,
like,
it ain't
funny no more, like Larry would say. Like,
it ain't funny no more. The jokes getting old and dried up. Let me tell you something.
Everybody saw that Monday, man.
Let me tell you something. The Florida and Florida State fans are hoping that we have a bad season. And a bad season for us would be 7-5. That would be a bad season for us.
Based and on hoping the money run out.
Yeah. I agree there. But my floor for us is 8-4. My ceiling is 10-2. And I'm going to be honest with you, a great recruiter. Because everybody goes, "Oh, you got to win." He goes, who else brings in top classes without winning? I was like, "Well, what's winning?" Our floor is still winning, 8-4. You can sell that to recruits easy. Say, "Man, I just need you. We got to improve that room." Yeah, you're where the difference between 8-4, if I get you and him and him and him, next thing you know, we're not 8-4, we're 10-2. And then y'all second year, we're 12-0. And we really got this thing rolling. So for me, our floor is 8-4. Our ceiling is 10-2. And I think that's very realistic and very attainable. But I do like what we've got rolling. You know, we brought in Jalen Rashada, Nathaniel Joseph. We landed Robert Stafford, Riley Williams. And then Francis Maui Goa.
In a week span.
All this has happened, right, in a week span. And then we're in position for a guy like Jaden Bonsu, who I really like as well once I watch his tape.
You got Jaden Wayne coming up, 5-star on Friday.
Yeah, that Jaden Brosso kid, he look like he's gonna be good, man.
I like him. I like him.
Yeah,
like him.
I love
him. He looks very instinctual, very explosive. Jaden Wayne is announcing on the 9th.
Yeah, I'm sad. That's another lock. That's another lock. I remember I kept telling
people. Very good about him too.
You know what's funny though? We tweeted that out like 3 months ago about
Jaden Wayne.
Yeah, we tweeted that out on the 26 Degrees page like 3-4 months ago.
Yeah, find that man. Look on Saturday, find that tweet, retweeted like
yeah.
We tweet those too.
We was there. We had that. I stopped trying just like that.
Collins Akeem Pong is a guy that we're also waiting on. I feel very good on. John Walker is
What's his date again? Has he set a date after he changed it? I don't think he has.
No, he hasn't set a date yet.
No, but it's coming. I think out of his camp, they were saying he wanted to do it before the start of football season or even before. So it's going to come pretty soon.
Yeah, so
I think he might without a date.
Without a date, I feel good for Collins. John Walker, I wouldn't say I feel great about.
Horrible.
I think that's Ohio State or like UCF, maybe
Florida. Horrible. We not in it. That was just a courtesy visit. We not in with him.
And last I heard, before the visit, we were top three. But I'm feeling, I'm with you, Measy. I feel like it's Ohio State. Then UCF, and then I think we're third in that
one. Yeah, I don't think we get any of the Osceola boys, but I'm fine with that. Especially how the
I can live with it.
Yeah, because everybody we wanted that we get.
Yeah, LeBlanc. He's going to Oklahoma. Vanderbilt's doing an excellent job with that one, but we still got the other safety, Jonel Aguro. You still got Jaylen Brown, Samson Okuna Lola. How do you pronounce that guy
name? Lola.
Canola. David Hicks. The guy who I really want in this class. I mean, if we get him, man, I don't know what I might do, but the Nicholas Harbor kid, oh my gosh.
I think he wants to. I don't know about it.
We get that kid.
I don't think he plays football.
He wants to. He wants to run track professionally. So I don't think no college is going to get him. But if he did want to play football, we was heading in the right direction with the kid, man.
Yeah, because we was going to have his first official visit too before he had to cancel because of that track meet.
Well, not that wasn't his first official. He visited other schools.
Official visits.
I don't think he has an official one.
Yeah,
I think it was going to be his first official. He canceled it for the track meet.
Right.
I think we could still be in good position with that kid if he decides to play football. But I'm kind of leaning towards, even from info I got from X, that I think he's going to just end up being a track guy. He is a freakish athlete.
Yeah, that's right. He's dangerous. He's a dangerous athlete. Like, man, you see somebody that big run at you, man, on offense, you kind of duck and say, "Hey, don't hit me." But
he could be tremendous in football, but I also think he could be tremendous in track and field. So I kind of get it where he might be like, "Yo, instead of me scrambling my egg, I'm gonna just go over here."
I'm just thinking about how much darn money he can make at like a DN or something, man. Like,
he's such an athlete, he could pursue his track career and then just go to a combine.
Dude, track might be where his heart is too.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, but I did want to mention Aguero, the safety. I think we trending real good with him lately, like the past couple weeks.
Yeah. I like what we're doing with him. You still got Ruben Bain. You still got who else? What UM is doing recruiting wise, man. I'm not gonna say we haven't seen this before because we have seen it before. 08 class, the 2018 class. But the thing is,
it's different.
Yeah. I think the staff is identifying the right players to fit their system. It's not just, oh, well, he's good, let's get him. No, it's we're going after the right players to fit our system. Which is why you have even the lower guy who's rated, 84 on 24/7. What's it, Frank, the offensive lineman guy?
Yeah, the first French trainer.
Tony Luau?
Yeah, to Luau, yeah. So,
he needs polish. Absolutely.
You look at him and you say, well, the staff looking at him like, okay, man, we going to build this kid to be something special because it's not like we're expecting him to come right away, but we know we could work with him. Not let's just get a kid because he's rated so high, but he might not fit what we're doing. You know what I'm saying? So
I'm not questioning nothing Cristobal and
Mirabal doing on the O-line. Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I'm not going to question.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I mean, I ain't questioning nothing. None of the coaches. Whatever they want, I'm happy.
then we got Highsmith. We got Highsmith. Another, you know what I'm
exactly
saying?
Right.
I'm happy. Another set of eyes that understand NFL talent. You know, he's a guy that's been in the NFL, what, about 12, 15 years, somewhere up in that window.
And Larry, you mentioned a while ago, too, about the wide net recasting, like, got a boy from Cali, a boy from Oregon.
Right.
We got some Northeast boys we looking good for. Another boy in Cali we looking good for. You know what I mean? So that's what I like about the staff, too. Yeah, we're going to try to get
the boys. And this is an important factor that the rest of college football got to take notice, because if Mario and his staff can keep recruiting nationwide, it kind of hurts them because – now you start to get the best players around the country along with the South Florida talent all over again.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it ain't just, oh, man, they just got all the South Florida speed. They ain't really got no big boys. They ain't got no quarterback. Nah, we got a quarterback. We got the big boys, too, to go along with the speed and the athleticism. Now what?
Hey, do y'all think
– now it ain't funny no more.
Do y'all think Mario, with his reach nationally, do y'all think I put some like pressure on South Florida boys, like, okay, we just can't wait to the last minute. Okay.
Nope. I disagree. I think it does in the sense of you either rhyme with us or you're not.
But at what position though?
We're not really recruiting.
Just say I'm gonna go defensive end because that's the position we might take 4 to 5. Okay, so just say you got Jaden Wayne commits. Just say, for instance, Nicholas Harbor wants to commit.
The boy from California we just
met. The Collins kid wants to commit. Let me see who else. Just those guys, and then Reuben Bain still want to wait till December. What do you say? Nah, we good. We full, or you say you know you win.
I think players like that, you kind
get sticky though. I feel
I mean, a kid out of Central that's communicating with the pro, now it's different versus that diva recruit that's kind of trying to slow play Miami. It's all about how you communicating with the coaches, right?
But that's what Ruben will be doing, though, in my opinion.
That's my point. Like, it's not like he hyping up no other school. He ain't like Peyton Kirkland, where every day, every other day, he hyping up a different school. So it's like if you play games, Miami can move on from you. Like, but if you're doing the recruitment right, Mario's gonna get his visit, and we gonna try to land you. That's the way I look at it.
X, how about this? What about those DNs you just mentioned? Say we get all those, and we get David Hicks one in, and then Reuben Bain wants in December. We get all these boys before December. Do you think there's a chance that could be like Reuben? Like, damn, I mean, all these
other boys. Ain't no damn chance. You gonna take every last one of them?
Take all of them, especially a DN.
You taking them all, and you saying, man, we gonna find some room. We gonna do something because for one. You ain't finna try to burn those bridges with a Miami Central kid. You're going to be like, man, we're going to take it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because, listen, Al Golden did that. He burnt bridges with high schools. Manny Diaz, he did that. He burnt bridges with high schools. You can't keep doing that. You know what I'm saying? It takes years to repair that. So you take it.
Well, yeah, we'll see how that all pans out.
We can mention Nathaniel Joseph real quick. Best for slot receiver.
Ray.
Man.
Yeah, man. The crazy thing is, man, I know everybody making a lot of noise about Ray Ray, and rightfully so, but everybody keep forgetting about Robbie Washington. Like, he ain't there. Robbie Washington is just as good.
It's the new toy mentality.
Yeah, he's bigger. He's bigger. Yeah.
Just as fast. Sure, now I don't want to say as fast as Shippy looked like. Robbie Washington, a baller.
Robbie
and Washington, a baller. I love
the crazy. The crazy thing is, the brother and a few other people saying that the linebacker Bobby, the brother, is actually faster.
Faster, yeah, I heard that. Well, he's about 6'3", 200 too, right?
Yeah, he's about 6'3", 215.
Okay,
that's sick.
Yeah,
yeah. That's sick. That's sick at linebacker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, but if anybody know who the dad is, then you know, like, yeah, they really got to be athletic because the daddy was like that coming out of high school.
You talking about Robbie Washington, Bobby Washington, Bobby.
Yeah, the
Washington.
Daddy Bobby. Yeah, the daddy.
Yeah, Bobby. Yep. Yeah,
I remember him.
Well, so in speaking on all that, future looks bright. One thing that is supposed to come in the future, you know, and it could shift a little bit depending on, you know, what we talked about pre-show, the ACC going to a 3-5-5 model. Miami has been grouped with BC and Louisville. Thoughts on that?
You say Miami, we would have to play Louisville and who else?
Boston College.
Louisville, Boston College. I guess, you know, from what Louisville is doing, I could see us playing Louisville. The Boston College thing, I don't know what's up with that one.
Yeah, it feels weird to me. Boston College feels really weird.
That was Louisville.
Louisville, I kind of can get, like you said, but I felt like, man, I wanted, you know,
Virginia Tech.
Yeah. We'll play Florida State, but I mean, BC definitely felt like, what the hell?
Yeah, because I don't see them trending in an upward way for a program.
Right.
That's very weird.
If it's just like a game easy for us to play, then okay. Yeah. But, I mean, for them to say we got to play them every year, it ain't like they beating us or nothing like that to say.
That was the conference trying to kind of help out the Northeast schools, because if you look, Florida State got Syracuse, and that makes even less sense. At least BC, we was in the Big East together. So
I mean, what was Syracuse beat Clemson? They beat Florida State. Boston College. Like, come on. Like, I don't think Boston College is an attraction at all. Like,
it's a Even when UM went
to go play up in Boston College, you don't really hear that many UM fans saying, "Yeah, we're traveling to Boston College." Like, nah, we'll travel to Syracuse.
I ain't gonna lie, them little Boston College trips in like November used to scare the hell out of me all the time, boy.
It's a good
team. Yeah, lately, if you gotta go see
it. Yeah, I used to hate going to church like, on Thursday night. That's an L.
But at the same time, I just thought, like, as a conference, I'm like, y'all could have scheduled something sexier than that. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, they trying to create sexy because essentially you play Boston College in Miami, ESPN gets to throw Flutie in our face for a week, and then they get to show the Ed Reed interception. So the whole point, they try to set up some marquee matchups that they're not used to getting, because I think if you look Virginia Tech Miami, I love the matchup. That's a rivalry game. But if you look at the last 5 years, that game was not put in prime time, not since the Malik game that he played, like the year we played them right before Notre Dame, like that. So I guess their attitude was, we need to build up Louisville with somebody. So Miami Louisville made sense, and they were like, well, we could sell the network a Miami Boston College game in these first 3 years, and hypothetically, if we stayed in the ACC in 3 years, they could reset the three teams you play every year. So this isn't like a forever thing.
You probably ain't gonna matter long anyway with all these realignments.
True, but that's why I just said hypothetically. But and you're still playing these schools twice in 4 years anyway, so we're still gonna see North Carolina twice. We're gonna see Virginia Tech twice. But you know, I missed the Virginia Tech. That's the one game I always look forward to. Both teams could be 0-8, and I'll find some time to watch Miami Virginia Tech.
Yeah, it's usually a good game. Absolutely. you know, like you just said, it may be off or not, depending on how these final alignments end up being. Let's see. Real quick, I want to say before we move on, as far as recruitment goes, we are number 9 in the nation.
Well, I guess you wanna say we number 10 now because Alabama did just they jumped us. They just got at the number one.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, number one JUCO player. Yeah.
Okay. Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Wide receiver at JUCO. So we're number 10. Cool. We're number 1 in the state. Which is right now, you know, you got to look at your goals. Right now, biggest goal is number 1 in the state.
So that's number as 1 of Wednesday. The state. This is as of Wednesday, too, because
They're far behind us.
Yeah, Friday, we're moving back up. We moving up some more, too, like Jefferson, you know what I'm saying, when we get Jaden.
So. Right. So just so we're clear, we're number 1 in the state. I believe we're poised to end up landing somewhere in the 4 to 5 5-star range and being
that'd be crazy, boy.
I really think that's very possible.
No, it's very possible.
Because you gotta look at what if Rashada has an awesome year, he gets bumped up. He's already close.
Right.
You look at Nicholas Harbor, a guy I think that we're in a good position with if he decides to play football. Jonelle Aguero, Samuel and Pimba,
David Hicks, Wayne.
Yeah, that we're in good position.
Carmani
is at the bottom of that list, and I still think, you know,
the offensive tackle.
I just finished recording Samson Okunlola. I just finished recording Big Three, and I said on the roll up that I felt like we were number 2 behind Alabama at this point. I think Alabama's the clear number 1.
Wait, for who?
I think for McLean.
Okay.
I think we're now number 2, and definitely. I think Florida's 3.
Right.
I
don't think he's going to Florida, man. I know that's his dream school.
No, I honestly think
the Bama thing, like, you know, it could get funky with Bama because if Bama does take another cornerback, I definitely don't think he goes to Bama
because they took Tony Mitchell and they took
they got two cornerbacks already, and then they got 4 last year. So
right.
I mean, but you know, like I say, you'll take him. Like if he wants in, it don't matter if you full. You say you take him, you just make room regardless. So
man, I think Mario and DVD close that up. Man, I don't know. I just have this feeling about Kamara.
I feel good about that one too. Yeah
I feel good, man. I ain't gonna lie.
I feel good about that one. I mean, that's just being honest. I would tell the truth. This is, you know, when you come to 26, this ain't a roll up. This is family business.
Right.
I would tell y'all if I just did not feel good about that. I feel good about Kamani McLean. I think getting on campus.
I like it.
Shifted some things with him.
Even the way his mom feel about us and everything.
Right. I just feel like, trust me, I'll put it this way. If he doesn't come to Miami, I'm willing to stake my name and claim right now that he's going to Bama. It won't be Florida. I don't think so.
Hey, so a little off topic, right? You know, it was a lot of trolling about only for the Gators, man. They not getting players and this and this and that. And you know, they not recruiting bad. The funny part is all of their top targets are just not choosing the Gators. And that's the funny part, because it's like, well, y'all already had a list of all the top players in the nation. Y'all didn't get not one of them.
Right. It's funny. Them and FSU not recruiting horrible, but I think it's just the trajectory Miami's on. It just makes it look bad to them. You know what I mean? Yeah. All first-time head coaches at the new schools and all this and that.
They talked and brought up a lot of fake clips, like, you know, like they was finna shoot and lock things down let them know, like, man, we don't play with toy guns over here, man. When we shoot, man, we shoot for real. You know what I'm saying?
We got to keep it 100, man. This is what we talk about. End of the day, the trolls that were for entertainment purposes, the people in Gator Twitter that troll for entertainment purposes, 80% of that fan base ate it up as gospel and didn't realize it was entertainment. We troll all the time. I don't believe all of it, but shoot, I get a laugh out of it. Yeah, them boys true. Them boys truly believe everything they hear. They truly believe Miami's broke. And the thing is, they're so caught up in, well, as long as we're the best in the Big Three or in the SEC, nothing else matters. Now they realize, wait, Miami's actually doing things better than us. And now they're looking around saying, wait a second, Tennessee, South Carolina's making moves. What are we
doing? They don't care nothing about none of that. They only care about being better than Miami and Florida State. They don't care about nothing.
But now they're not.
Being better than you
are. Right. Exactly. Right, bro. But they not. That's not the problem. Even if you want to shift your focus to us, you're losing on that front, too.
Like I said,
today you're losing on that front. That's a bottom line truth. We had a better record than both of those schools. I don't care what they say. Oh, y'all, they say conference play is conference play, brother.
Whatever.
It really doesn't matter.
No, numbers is numbers.
The teams you got to beat, right? Everything right now, Miami's top dog in the state. That's just true. That goes to last year's record, to recruiting, to staff, to upgrades and facilities. We are simply number one.
And this is supposed to be
all you want.
A big year in Gator Country, right? Orange County, Polk County. This is supposed to be the year that they were flourishing in terms of a class. This was supposed to be their year. That's what they told us. That's what they scribbled in pencil and made a list and posted it on the internet to brag to all of us about. And it's like the checks they writing just not cashing.
The narrative
just, it changes almost every day with them. Like it's a new narrative.
Every day.
Y'all didn't have money to hire Mario. Y'all ain't gonna fire Manny Diaz. Y'all wasn't gonna fire Blake James.
It ain't funny.
All those things came to fruition, man. And now, y'all don't got money to build a new facility. That's on the way.
That's cap.
Y'all don't got no coaches.
That's what I'm saying. It ain't funny no more. All these
money gonna dry out.
All these jokes just ain't adding up.
The funny part was they actually believed that Mario wasn't going to hire any coaches. They actually believed it. Some of them did. And that was like, really? Y'all believe that? Like,
when the news reports that already came out, this is not – okay, I'm going to tell you one of the biggest realistic reporters that I really rock with in Miami is Manny Navarro. If Manny said, bro, ride with, I'm telling you, Manny gonna tell you what it is. Hate it or love it. He told y'all we were gonna have the highest paid staff in the ACC. What do we have? The highest paid staff in the ACC.
Manny ain't told a lie yet.
He don't do it.
I remember when the fan base was coming for Manny. You remember that?
Yeah,
the fan
base is coming for him. Because one thing he's not gonna do is not keep it real. So he told us that. Right, this is a credible reporter, and so what happens is it ain't funny no more. So every joke they want to get off has no real it. The punchline don't land. It does. It's no substance. There's no punch. The punchline don't land.
I mean, just look at the timeline. Yesterday, we land Francis, the 5-star tackle. Most of everybody who hate UM instantly goes to, oh, y'all don't got your own stadium. They really don't got nothing else to say now. It's like,
you're right.
That's it? Y'all going to talk about a stadium? Really? Like, I mean.
You think that matters to that kid when he committed?
Man, the crazy thing is, on Saturday.
Wait, y'all don't have your own stadium? Oh, wait a minute. I decommit.
When Saturday games come up, do we have a place to play our football game in? That's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
Like, and telling us we need our own stadium to play a football? Nah, we play at a state-of-the-art NFL stadium.
And we've already shown that when the big games are there, it's deafening. It is lit. It ain't no problem. Because if you got a good Miami Hurricanes football team, the city shows out. That's it. These jokes are gonna be great. I get it. You get them all. That's cool. The rented stadium, blah, blah, blah. I get it. That's not a bad. It's a weak joke now because it's just like, bro, y'all done ran that into the ground. We've already shown that if it's a big game, Miami shows up, shows out, and we're loud and disruptive. That's a fact. We've had Notre Dame players say, hey, that was the loudest place we ever played in. And they playing Notre Dame. They said it. Man, listen, that crowd was rocking. It was disruptive. It was noisy. It was irritating. That's what we were putting on the field. So all we got to do is continue to do that. Miami's a pro town, and we'll show up. And that's what it'll ultimately be.
Like 2019 Twitter, stay low and grind. Like, you
gotta worry about that's it. That's it. That's it, baby. We got anything else? Are we ready to slide? We got anything else?
I'm looking at the docket. I think we did.
Camp start in what? Officially a month from now. Fall camp starts. So we're getting close and close to football, fellas.
Let's go.
Oh, too. We got a barbecue July 30th. All right, we got to
recruit. Now Florida's having one that day as well.
I think they have Friday Night Lights that weekend too.
Yeah, they got Friday Night Lights that weekend, and then they got the barbecue the next day. We don't have a camp obviously that weekend, but we will be having a barbecue that weekend. So that'll be interesting.
By that time, we got so many targets coming off the board. I think that's going to be a lot of underclassmen, maybe. I don't know.
That's going to be the focus, yeah. Oh. It's not going to be a lot of 23 kids. Oh. This will be more about building for 24 and 23.
Speaking of 24, we didn't touch on it. Antoine Jackson from Dillard.
Antoine Jackson, we flew from Georgia. So we done – Mario done put Saban in the locker the last week. We done put Billy, Country Boy, whatever you want to call him, in the locker last week.
We've had Dabo recently.
Dabo in the locker the last week. We done put Ryan Day wanted Riley Williams, so we put Ryan Day in the locker in the last week, man. More to come though.
No, but that's a big deal, man. To me, getting public school kids from Broward, to me, is a big deal, because if you can get that, then you're building them pipelines again. And that's the one thing I want to see from this staff, like not just going after like getting Northwestern Central's our bread and butter. But if there's a talented kid in Dade or Broward, like regardless of the school, if he's talented, we got to jump on that. And that recruitment showing me that, you know, we're on top of things, and very happy. I guess I'm biased because I'm from Broward, so I like seeing us getting public school Broward kids. But the talent's there. I hate sending them.
Everybody good? Shout out to the Gators, man. Y'all just keep on keeping on, baby. Keep telling yourselves that this is just like every other year. Miami's out to an early start, and the games got to be played. And I already told y'all my floor is 8-4 this year, so I don't know what y'all think.
I think that's the floor.
That's the floor. 8-4 is my floor this year. That's still a
man. I think the team that Mario put together, man. I think I'm not gonna give no total, man. I just know
we talking about the worst we can do.
I mean, 10 wins is before the bowl.
The team that he put together, man. He went and got everything that we needed to help us win games. We on each level. The only thing we didn't need no safeties, we didn't need no quarterback. So, but everything else we needed help at, and he went and got it.
See, my thing with that is, I understand he went and got it, but I just want to see, are they going to be good enough to, get us to that 10-win mark? You know what I mean?
And then another thing, we always lost games because of depth issues, too. We got depth now.
No, you're right.
We got depth now, so.
Yeah.
Anyways, keep praying that we lose. Again, my floor is 8-4, so y'all think we're gonna lose recruits based on that? I just don't. I think that's the worst.
It's gonna be fun on Twitter this year, boy.
That's the worst we're gonna do this year. I hate to break it to y'all, man. I'll stake my last name on it, bro. I just 8-4 is the worst. I expect we can do as well as 10-2, maybe even 11-1. But I guarantee you, when I sit 8-4 at the bottom. So keep praying and praying on our downfall. Probably not going to play out well for you guys. We're going to out-recruit you all. We're going to outplay you all. And it ain't going to be just depending on one player. It's going to be a team, man. Our team is going to be just better. I think we're ready to get up out of here, man. Let me send a shout out real quick to my moms. My moms be tuning in. She don't tune in to 26 yet. That's my fault, though. But she tunes in to the roll up. I gotta link her in with us, what we got going on over here. She don't like sports. She just love her boy like that.
Shout out, mom.
Appreciate all the support.
Mom. Hey, my mom's same way, man. She don't know nothing about sports, but she support us.
Boy, that's what's up, man. Love the mamas, man. Y'all boys got any shout outs before we get out of here?
Yeah, shout out to my mom. We doing mom, shout out to my mom too. She be asking me about the show all the time. Like, how's it going? This and that and everything. So shout out to my mom, man.
No doubt, man.
Yeah, man. Shout out to all the fans, man. Thanks for, you know, tuning in. Continue the support, man. We here. Got more things coming on, man. It's getting exciting, man.
Hey, we had a year right now.
We're close. We're like 2 weeks out. I think it's 50 right. or 51. Yeah, we're very close. Okay. We almost had a year, man. So thank you, everybody who's been down for a year. Especially the fans that stay down during the off season, man. We see you. We appreciate you. And, you know, we're going to only go up from here. So thank you all. It's been yet another episode of 26 Degrees, man. It's my funnest show to do. I'm being 100 with you, man. I love my team. I love everything we're doing. I love the dedication. It's only up from here, man. Y'all continue to support. Go out and rate us on any streaming platform that you use. That's free help for the team, man. If you enjoy our show, please take this moment right now as you're listening and just go rate us, man. And we got to give us one penny that just helps push us up and helps us, stick around and continue to bring the show to you guys every week. Excuse me. So, that's it, man. We'll be back next week, bro. One.
Peace, y'all. Hold it down.
We're going to let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.